Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Yes. Greetings. Welcome to another episode of Piercing the Veil with Jordan Eskew and myself, Corey Stevens. We're waiting for Jordan. He was just on. We're just waiting him to get back on the line. We've got a couple guests today. We're interviewing Daisy Winsong of the Winsong Movement and Ross Duet of Feed My People. So we should have an interesting show.
Hello.
Ah, there he is, Jordan.
Sorry about that, guys. A little technical difficulty there. Corey, did you just intro the show for me?
I certainly did.
You are so awesome. I really appreciate your help. Yes, as Corey mentioned, we have Daisy Winsong and Ross Diot, and they've been doing some really interesting stuff in the DFW area. Ross, as you guys know, if you've been listening to the show, he's a returning guest, and which he's still doing, to performing on stage live with Winsong Movement, and then into Feed My People, which uses creative and sustainable food waste resourcing contacts and networking abilities to feed homeless people in the local DFW area. So, it's just been an awesome ride on this whole show. If anybody's listening today from Facebook, from Daisy Winsong's friends group or anything like that, big shout out to you guys. Thank you very much for listening to the show. You have an excellent friend, and I hope you're following her. So, with no further ado, hello Ross, hello Daisy. How can we enlighten our viewers today? What do you guys have for us?
Hey Jordan, we are super excited to be on the show. I guess mainly we'd just like to share with everyone how amazing the impact can be when you open your heart and find your true passion and share it with the world. And also in using your passion as a platform to create change, not only within yourself, but within the community. So as the show goes on, I hope to elaborate and let you in on a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So it sounds like we'll be talking a little bit about community outreach and the tools that you guys are using to accomplish that. We talked about this before we got on the show, and some of the things that I'm really excited to hear about is sound healing, right? And the music that you guys are providing, not just when you are doing the homeless events and other things, but the music you're providing to the general public is a healing effort. It's an actual act of here you go, please take this, you know, I hope it helps you. And Corey and I actually had a show on homelessness not too far back, and we discussed the effect of the environment on your mental state and the, you know, correlation with mental illness and things like that. And so the sound healing, I think, is really important, and I'd really like to hear you guys go into detail, if you could at some point, into how you plan on incorporating that more into the homeless feeding aspect and, of course, you know, your social media activism that you've got going on. So, and Ross, if we could hear from you, what's new in your world, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jordan. Since that was probably 3 or 4 months ago that I was last on your radio show, we talked about some sound healing stuff then and my spiritual rapping, and that has certainly progressed a lot in just the 3 or 4 months since I've been on your show last. Meeting Daisy has been very impactful for my music. She plays acoustic guitar and really focuses on medicine music, and she has a very beautiful voice. It's very ethereal, very spiritual and powerful. So getting to pair my lyrics with that has been a really awesome experience, and we can talk more about that. And then Feed My People was started from my love of dumpster diving, essentially, and just wanting to find an outlet for, like Daisy was saying, you know, your passion, turning that into change. And I just love dumpster diving. I loved, you know, hacking the system, if you will. So that's been a really fun process as well.
Interesting. Yeah, and I just want to clarify for our listeners, because I fucking love dumpster diving as well. And I don't think people really have an idea of what we're talking about. I think most people, including around the world, and possibly in other countries, maybe not so, but most people have this idea of this dirty, nasty, gross banana peels and soup at the bottom and, you know, broken eggs everywhere. And, you know, while that may be the case in some places, most of the time when you don't even have to hop in there, you look down there, there's fresh packaged goods that are still, you know, cold if they're in the freezer section or the fridge section. And there's like whole things of pineapple that's still, you know, in the case and it's not expired. You know, we found, let me just name one of the big greats here. We found, I don't know, over $2,000 worth of pistachios that were still in date that weren't set to expire for another 6 months, just thrown out because they weren't selling. They were a little too pricey. Each one of those was about $4 a bag, I believe. And wow, we found two whole cases. You can find all sorts of juice and all sorts of things that have not been opened. It's still hermetically sealed. Takes a little bit of wiping off and maybe with some silver solution, something like that. And then, voila, now you've got something that's still usable that just literally came off the shelf not 20 minutes earlier and was just dumped to make more shelf space, not because it was expired. So that's what we're dealing with when we say dumpster diving. And it's a wonderful hack, like you said, Ross. I like that. We had Frank Bacon on last week. He's real big into the whole hacker aspect, and he mentioned a show called Mr. Robot. And I think, you know, that's something that sort of applies the whole view on the society. So thank you for that. It sounds like you guys are up to a lot of good stuff here. Corey, what do you have to think about all this? I know you've talked to Ross before, and this might be your first time with Daisy. What questions do you have for them?
Well, I just want to chime in on the dumpster diving thing and say it's not as gross as people think necessarily. You get some, you know, you get some good opportunities if it's something that you require, or if it's something that if you're looking to be able to assist other people. Man, so much food. I lived in New York for years, and the amount of food that gets thrown out is just phenomenal.
And we're not talking like, oh, this person just ate this and left it on a plate food. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pure, fresh produce that was literally once on a shelf 20 seconds ago, and now it's supposedly dumpster trash.
Right.
In a clean organic bin with no other form of trash anywhere around it. No needles, no, you know, tampons, no nothing. That's nothing that you would pick the trash to be.
The one thing too is you have a lot of the delis, you know, like the, you know, where you can just go in and little corner stores and stuff in the city, and they have like food sections, so salad sections and hot food sections. And I remember I was, you know, I was a little short on cash for a period of time there, and I remember I'd walk into these places, and there's one place in particular, and I knew that they, at a particular time in the day, they would throw out all their stuff that was, you know, all their prepared food, all the hot food and stuff like that. And I walk in and be like, hey, man, can I get some of that? And they were like, no.
Yes.
No, this is for the dumpster.
Yep.
This is not for you. You know, and it was just, it's obscene. It's obscene. On the other hand, There are a lot of organizations in New York, and I'm sure they're, you know, in all kind of major metropolitan areas where people are starting to get up on it a little bit. And you have these organizations that are specifically designed to go and, you know, collect these foods, produce and things and stuff like, you know, you were able to find and be able to distribute it to people who need it. So on the one hand, it's a big problem. On the other hand, from what I can tell, folks are doing stuff about it. So
Yeah, definitely. None. And I would say this, it's good you mentioned that there are organizations that work with food banks and so on and so forth. It requires you start a nonprofit. It requires that you jump through all sorts of hoops. It requires that you follow all sorts of regulations. Mm-hmm. And one of those regulations being that you are not allowed to feed the homeless. You are not allowed to directly hand the food to them. So where is the benefit? And that's why I wanted to bring Ross on, because he is directly benefiting these people. He's not feeding them bacteria or poison-ridden food. He's feeding them fresh things that literally just came off the shelf that the company either failed or refused to consider a human being fit for that food. So, you know, it's something that needs to be done. I would consider it an act of civil disobedience, as long as it's done in a responsible and smart manner. More power to you, Ross. I think that's absolutely wonderful and something I support 100%. And now, you know, Daisy is doing some other pretty badass things too. So Daisy, I just want to talk to you a bit now. Just give us a general breakdown of what you got going on. Maybe if you want to go into your story first. I don't think people understand where you're really coming from and what you've been through in the past few months.
Sure, absolutely. So I left home at the age of 15. Talk about environmental circumstances. I mean, I was truly suffering as a child and a young adult. And so I left home kind of in search of just something that made sense. And it took me a really long time, but luckily all along the way I had music. And I used music as a way as an outlet, basically, to express my sorrow and to express, you know, my desire for change and for survival. And so fast forward a little bit, I found myself homeless by the age of 17, 18, and was put into a safe house, basically, for women and victims of human trafficking and domestic violence. And there I realized just how many people, not only myself, were falling victim to these circumstances. And so I vowed that if I made it on the other side of it, that I would be an instigation for change. And so fast forward a couple years more, I find the conscious community in Dallas, and my friends and family start encouraging me to share my message through music, to perform at open mics. And I started receiving a great response from that. Like I said, like, my music is a way for me to express my pain, but also my desire for change. And so I felt like people were really able to receive that in a way that inspired their own healing process. So mm-hmm. as I started to reach a little bit more success, getting ready to record an album, I launched a campaign for my album saying that for every 20 albums I sell, I'll donate a guitar for a homeless child because I felt like it would be a great way for them, if they've never had an outlet like that, maybe to give them a glimpse of hope. And so the response was huge. I set my goal for $2,500, and by the end of the campaign, I had raised $5,000 for myself, and I had two donors match my my campaign to a total of $5,000 in charitable donation. And so I decided to start a project called Jumpstart, where I asked members of the community to come out and support me, artists and healers alike. And I brought music and meditation and expressive healing arts to homeless children living in Dallas. That started in October of 2014, and it's still going strong today.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
And you guys do this every week, if I'm not mistaken, the Jumpstart program?
It's the second and the fourth Wednesday of every month.
Okay. Bi-monthly. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to promote that a lot. That's really super important. I recently attended a cultural dance lesson for poverty-stricken kids of African descent. And it was the best thing I've ever done. I moved my body, I danced with them, I learned all the moves, and it was just super cool. And you could see that they really enjoyed having something creative to do. And also the moving of the body is constantly readjusting and balancing the hormones. And they're not just sitting there, you know, whether they're at school learning nothing or at home learning nothing, wherever you're at, you know, it was nice to see that. So I definitely firsthand know the feeling of, number one, participating in an event like that, and number two, the value and benefit that's received by these individuals that go through this. So I really commend you for your contribution, and I think it's a lasting and valuable thing that needs to continue to grow and expand. And Corey, I would definitely ask for, you know, go ahead, Daisy.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you. And yeah, it's been amazing so far to witness the transformation, the impact on the children. I mean, these are kids that are coming from extremely abusive situations, you know, being homeless and being constantly in a state of transition, to giving them, you know, love, just showing them unconditional love and offering them maybe a way to healthily express themselves. I mean, we see kids come into the program with severe behavior issues and walk out with a sense of purpose. And that's what music has done for me. And I just feel blessed to be able to offer it to other children in Dallas.
Perfect. Well, it looks like we actually have a caller. Corey, I was going to break over to you and get your counterpoint, but I think you're aware of that too. Scott, welcome on board. Can we help you?
She's a wonderful performer. I met her in Austin. This is Naeem, I guess.
Naeem, I apologize. They told us.
No worries.
Oh, Scott.
I just wanted to say thank you for the performance that she gave at a random party. I asked her to perform, and she poured her heart out in that moment, and it was like this incredibly powerful experience. And so any sort of encouragement I can give a performer like that to continue on, I want to give that. So this is just that way of saying thank you. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, your thank you will be sent around the world. This show goes all the way to North Korea and China. It's broken in there somehow.
Wow.
Japan really likes it. So whatever we can do to mutually help Daisy, and we would love to hear from any other friends or people that have collaborated with her, so they can share their experience and their stories and say, you know, look at the personal impact that this has had on my life and the community. This is something that's extremely important. People are always asking, how do we change the world? You know, what do we do? Do we, you know, donate to this charity or donate to that charity or even donate to Winsong Movement? Yes, that's great, but you need to step it up and take it to the next level by getting personally involved. And things of this nature that you can literally do, and everybody loves music. Everybody loves learning creative things, skills they can do on their own. That's just hand in hand. And so Daisy and Ross, both of you guys, I think you have really nailed it on the head. And Naeem, your input's extremely valuable. I appreciate that as well. Thank you for that. And Corey,
thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And Corey, what would you say you've sort of experienced along this line? I know you've done a lot of community outreach in your past.
Yeah, I mean, particularly on the music, you know, music, I remember, like, everybody I knew, and people older than me in particular, like, you know, a generation behind me, you know, everybody had a piano in their house, it seemed like. Rich people, poor people, you know, there was always, you know, more often than not, people would get together, you know, whether it was church related, you know, on a Sunday or something. But people would get together and, you know, play music. There's instruments in the house, and people would get together and commune and sing and you know, add levity to their lives. And I've just seen in my experience, you know, like in the public school systems, for example, right? Budgets get tight, and the first things that go out the window, of course, are music and arts programs, which in my experience is kind of counterintuitive, because there's a lot of research out there that I'm aware of that kids who learn music, learn a musical instrument, or learn about the science of music and then the benefits of performing and enjoying music tend to do better in all other academic areas.
And pretty much every domain, I would say. It activates a balance of the right brain, left brain that's not
exactly
there, that's ingrained out of you into
exactly
service, compliance, bend over. And that's
right,
what you're getting today. So, Corey, I totally agree with you. And Ross and Daisy have provided some valuable justification, evidence, and input just based on their words alone for the value that it provides outside. Now, my motto is to always look within. So at this point, I would really like to direct the discussion within. And I would address both Ross and Daisy and ask you, and one at a time, please, just whatever you want to say, however you want to answer. How do you feel when you're performing and when you're feeding these people? How do you, like, I know you can do the emotions and stuff like that, but how does your body feel? I want to highlight to our listeners that the body responds positively to things that you're doing in your life that you're meant to be doing. So if you're in alignment with what your soul's purpose is, your body's going to respond with better health along with positive emotions, which is the thing that everybody fixates on, and all sorts of other things, okay? It provides you an actual benefit, just like when I do the radio show and when I do tactical wordsmithing and help clients and we get a big win and we stick it up the ass of a huge bank that's been defrauding somebody and hasn't assigned the note for 4 years but has been collecting on payments, all these types of things. I love that. My body feels great, and I can feel the alignment happening. So again, to recap, throw it back to Ross and Daisy. That being said, in that context, how do you feel?
Well, I feel amazing. Like you said, the positive emotions are definitely very strong. Our last concert was at Pagan Unity Fest last Saturday. So about a week ago, and I felt so electrified is a good word for it. I was buzzing for hours afterwards, just, you know, tingly, happy sensations. And it felt really good to, like you said, bringing it into alignment, like what my music's about and what I'm trying to pass along in my music are my teachings, my learnings on, you know, from my life, from my spiritual path. I put in my music. And so when people listen to that, it's everything that I'm about. So, they listen to that. I see them in the audience jamming their heads. And then afterwards they come up to me and say, I really enjoyed that. And a lot of the people that come up to me and say that are guys that are my age. You know, I'm in my mid 20s, you know, kind of hippie or, you know, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. And you know, just brothers that are like me that are benefiting from my music. And that, you know, talk about being in alignment. I feel like that's what my purpose is. So it's affirmation for me. Performing is an affirmation, really. And it's really motivating and it feels great.
Excellent. Okay, and Daisy?
I would definitely say it's a healing experience all the way around. You know, I started writing music as a therapeutic measure, way to express myself, and so whenever I'm able to do that in front of a group of people, I truly feel removed from the experience. I feel like myself is separated, and I become a clear channel and a vessel for the infinite power of truth and love and healing to flow through me. And so even though I may be singing lyrics that I wrote or music that I wrote, I really feel this overwhelming sense of spirit. And I find that that's well received by other people. As Ross was saying, people have healing experiences at our shows. I see women crying, talking to each other about deep emotional wounds that they may not have realized they were still holding on to all throughout the duration of our performance. And so to me, it's just electrifying to know that I can remove myself and that I can just allow myself to be a conduit for that message of peace and healing.
Ah, that was so excellent. I'm always listening to every word that everybody says. It's everyone that I hear, I'm always listening to the intent, the purpose, and what exactly the true meaning of that is. And so I wanna make this clear to you, and you take it for what it is, Daisy, but first of all, excellent response. Okay.
Second, I agree.
Because listen, it's so perfect for us, Corey. Check this out. Listeners, I think you'll really appreciate this. There's two sides of the coin, and then there's the observation of it. So you have the what would be normally called the jaded musician who's performed so many times and basically is separated. Then you have the enthusiastic musician, which is Ross. However, the jaded thing is not really applying to Daisy. What she's managed to do is activate a channel, and this is what I want to touch on. She's just selfless. one whole. She's managed to enter a state of enlightenment during this performance, whereas she looks upon the joy of the faces of half the crowd and the suffering of others, suffering being crying and purging emotional traumas and things like this. She looks upon it as one and the same, which is exactly the middle way, which is what Buddha is saying, right? Mm. And I've always said in our past shows that everyone experiences moments of enlightenment and you experience moments of mortality to balance that and give you some sort of perspective, right? Mm. So, Daisy, congratulations on take it for what you will. It's just my perspective. But congratulations on your enlightenment vehicle that you've created for yourself. And, there's other ways, meditation and so on and so forth. But I think that right there is pretty powerful. And then I've seen firsthand Ross enter this stage. When he's rapping, he doesn't think about the next words that are coming. Whether it be just a freestyle or something he's memorized, it just comes out, right? And this is a skill. This is not something that, is innate to all people. This is a skill that's either natural or it's developed with hard work. And if you're lucky enough to have it naturally, kudos to you. And this is why I think that some people are further along in greatness in the world than others. It's not that they're better. It's just they have these natural skills that their life circumstance has allowed them to take control of. Like rock stars, musicians, actors, so on and so forth. The life circumstance I speak of is like family connections and networking and who knows who and all that stuff, because that's how the world works. All right? So to wrap that up, both of you are entering a state of enlightenment, and under my perspective, it's my opinion, you can take it for what it's worth and go buy a cup of coffee with it or something, right? But I truly believe that's what's happening, and I really appreciate you, Daisy, for enlightening us on that in your answer. And Ross, thank you for talking about the feeling aspect. So, Corey, do you have anything to add about that?
Yeah, I'm just on the intent. I have music experience, and you kind of touched on it. People are in music for different reasons. I would say most musicians are in it because it feels good, and regardless of whether you may come with the intent of healing per se, or whether you're just in the zone, there's that place that's, to me, unique to music and performing music and observing people performing music, where it's just, if everything's clicking right, it's a zone. It's just a zone.
I think they call it being in the pocket.
In the zone. And I've had that experience of, completely forgetting yourself.
Yes.
Being on stage and connecting with your fellow performers and the audience, and you're okay, what songs are we going to play? We got the song list, and okay, I got to, I'm practicing and make sure that it sounds good, and you don't want to fuck up, right? And make a mistake, and all that shit goes out the window to the point where you don't even remember what it is. You don't know what song you're playing. Yep. You don't know what
it's just happening.
Fingering you're supposed to be doing, any of that stuff. It's just happening in the moment. And I would, and kudos to you guys for that intent, for coming into it with the healing intent, right? Which takes it to yet another level. And music is purely, to me, it is a healing science. It's a universal thing. Everything is sound. Everything is music. Everything is vibrating. There's, universal chords and frequencies and melodies and everything all the time. And, I appreciate musicians in general. Yes. Who are committed to that. It's a sacred place. And, kudos to you guys for your approach and what you get out of it as well, what you give and what you get out of it. It sounds great. I'm looking forward to being able to hear you guys' music or check you out at some point.
That's right. It's excellent. It really is. It's fantastic. And, they are giving. That's what I wanted to highlight as well before I go back to Daisy and Ross for their response. They're channeling. Right? They're doing something. They're focusing. And what you mentioned, Corey, is important. The intent. They're focusing the intent of their performance, the intent of their enlightenment experience. They're not just sitting there like, oh, wow, this is so cool. Look, I'm neutral. I finally found a place of neutrality. You know what I mean?
Or I'm really rocking out right now.
I mean, there might be a little twinge of that somewhere because it's natural to about new skills. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, first and foremost, Daisy and Ross are about service to others. So, you know, I want to give them a chance to reply here. We're just trying to get everybody's perspective. And I'll go with you first, Daisy. What we spoke about you reaching a state of enlightenment, the purpose of it, how you're using it, and then the channel that you are, you know, that you mentioned yourself, how do you feel about that? I mean, and then when you're done explaining that, if you want to go into anything at all, generally, that you want to talk about, we'll do that time. And then I'll go to Ross.
Okay, sure. Yes, thank you so much. I do appreciate your feedback on that. That's exactly how I feel. Just, you know, music is my meditation. It's my therapeutic tool for myself. And then also, you know, I hope that I can be a beacon of light for others by just being an example for that on stage during a public performance. So I would say, you know, for me to allow myself to become a window into spirit, that's the ultimate gift and ultimate blessing. I feel like all of the things that I had to go through in order to be broken down to reach the point of, you know, coming to that, you know, very vulnerable and raw place and ability to tap into direct source, you know, I see it as a gift now rather than a time of suffering because it enabled me to reach so many. And so, yeah, service to others is what it's about. I mean, I use my music as a platform to advocate, you know, alleviating oppression throughout our community. I mean, the fact that there are people starving, you know, that our brothers and sisters are displaced, that, you know, children have to be faced with violence day to day and then go to school, you know, and pretend like, you know, nothing's happening or that they're normal. I mean, my heart just breaks over that. And I would not be doing what I'm doing if it were not to just raise awareness and let people know that we have to make a change. So it's really not for me. I mean, I do hope to become successful and reach, you know, reach millions and millions of people, but only to enlighten them to the fact that, you know, there is no need for suffering, that we all have a choice and we can all make a difference through our actions and through tapping into our individual passions. And that's why I encourage people from the Dallas-Fort Worth area to come to Jumpstart to check it out, to see what they have to offer, whether it just be being a safe adult for a child to interact with or sharing their passion, you know, through a workshop for these children. That's just what I'm most passionate about. And so I just appreciate being able to share that message through music.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, the gratefulness is one of the most important things, I think, when doing what we love in our life, to be grateful not only to do it, but also to be able to do it and provide a value to somebody else because of it. And I think you're just totally spot on that. I appreciate it, Daisy. Ross, is there anything that you would like to respond to with what we said earlier about you becoming a channel and all the things that you're experiencing and the two sides of the coin? And then also, would you like to wrap anything up generally with anything else that you have? If you have any problems, issues, any questions you want to ask us, anything like that afterwards, feel free. We'll totally go after it. We have a little bit of time left, so...
I mean, Daisy has been killing it with the answers. I do not think I could articulate it better myself. Okay. I would revert back to her on a lot. I'm very thankful that you guys, you know, see what we're doing and that you had us on this radio show to encourage us. You know, it's always a work in progress, and it's very joyful to be able to make the music too. Like, you know, it's our own medicine, first and foremost. And then that real joy gets translated out. So, yeah, you start with the intention of wanting to help people and being of service to others. But you also have to serve yourself, and you also have to, you know, the music is first for me. Not to sound like selfish or whatever, but it is. And then that gets translated to everyone else.
Universal oxygen mass theory. Come strikes again, Corey.
Right.
Excellent. Excellently worded, sir. That's exactly
what
Go ahead. Yes,
if absolutely. I can, I just want to speak on Ross's behalf, too, because I believe he's being just a little bit humble here. You know, in meeting him, you know, I was kind of reaching a point in my music where I had a lot that I wanted to say, but I just was struggling to say it in my little fairy, ethereal, you know, Daisy voice. And, you know, collaborating with him about real issues such as forgiveness, such as how can we get people to join together to create change and things like that. And then just having him go to the drawing board and just write these incredible raps that are, you know, passionate but also encouraging and inspiring. And then come to find out, like, oh, this guy, you know, I had a heart attack in December, and I was in a coma for 7 days, and my recovery was quite long. I had to quit all of my work. I wasn't gigging. And Ross fed me for 3.5 months off of food that he was finding for free. And I would go with him on these little ventures. And, you know, in one night, he could find enough food to feed 150 people. Yep. And just to me, like, I just started getting even more inspired in the Windsong movement, just realizing that our impact could be so great if we can just spread this message and let people know that this stuff is out there, this exists, you know, we could really be creating a lot of change for our community. And so I just wanted to say kudos to him for, you know, selflessly doing that work on and off stage, and inspiring not only myself, but, you know, the hundreds of people that he's impacted so far.
That's absolutely right on point. And I think I can speak for everybody on this entire radio show when I say that we will never, ever, ever apologize or back down for feeding somebody food that's hungry that can't find it anywhere else, or may be able to find it intermittently at shelters that are overcrowded and feed them GMO crap, you know, and all sorts of other stuff. When you make a home cooked meal, I'll never apologize for that ever, ever at all. And then to address anyone who would say, oh, dumpster diving, you know, first of all, you go look in the dumpster behind an organic Walmart. In the organic waste bin at about, I don't know, let's say 9:30, 10 o'clock p.m., wherever you live, and then come back and talk to me. My email address is gtac09@hushmail.com. I'll put that out there. All right? Now, for anybody else, number two, who would say, oh, well, what if you, you know, this sounds like a good idea, but if you keep talking about it, they're just going to shut down, they're going to put locks on it, and blah, blah, blah. Great. Now we've brought the issue to light, and it's got enough public attention that if they were to be reported to the local you know, news agencies, there is one hungry investigative reporter who wants to jump on that, even to spin it. There's no publicity but good publicity. So therefore, doing any of this, just doing it yourself, is really causing a positive change, no matter what shoe drops, you know, no matter what authority tries to, you know, get in the way or run or abscond from culpability, if you will. Does it make sense? So let's not joke ourselves here. Walmart's one of the biggest companies in the entire world. They're a national security contractor, and they ship and transport, you know, U.S. military tanks and all sorts of things across the country. They have contracts with all sorts of defense people. So, you know, they can afford to do a little donation. You know what I mean? But they're choosing not to in most cases. I can't speak for every single one or every single store manager, but in the most part, when we've asked, like Ross says, they said, basically they're inferring, no, this is for the dumpster, we can't help you. I've literally talked to somebody who said, no, I can't give this out because of something. And I called him on the carpet. And then he was like, no, I can't give this out because of this. I was like, okay, well, there's the second excuse that now is a lie, because it's either the first one or it's this one. And if you're not sure, then you're fucking incompetent. And if you are sure, then you're lying to me. So which one is it? He had me escorted out of his store. I walked around to the back, and I literally watched an employee take the food I was just talking about and put it in the trash. I took the food, and I fed about 20 people with it. Okay? So won't ever apologize, ever. You guys are doing awesome work, both with the music and the food as well. So at this time, is there anything you guys want to plug? Any websites, specifics, campaigns, anything like that? I want to make sure you have plenty of time to talk about that, and then we might go into something else afterwards. So whoever wants to start.
Absolutely. I just want to let your listeners know that they can visit us online at windsongmovement.org. We have free music available to listen to. You can check out Jumpstart and Feed My People. There are ways to donate to us, either monetarily or by filling out volunteer forms and getting in touch with us and donating your time. But ultimately, we just want to raise awareness about what's going on here in DFW with Windsong Movement. So again, it's windsongmovement.org. And there are also links to our social media and things like that through that website as well.
Excellent. 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 Okay. Well, now let's move into some other things, if you guys are with me here. Daisy and Ross, I'm sure in your respective fields, Ross, of course, feeding people with dumpster diving, and Daisy, of course, playing gigs and helping people and doing her other things. Have you ever run up against any type of regulation, rules, resistance, permitting problems? Ross, have you ever run up into anything at all?
Yeah. Well, I've definitely had a few encounters with police officers over being in dumpsters late at night and
likewise
and feeding homeless people, because in Dallas, it is illegal to feed homeless people. Yes. And they don't
feed the pigeons. Sorry, I just had to.
No, well received.
Yeah, I just had to go there.
Please continue.
And so there was a court case where churches went ahead and, you know, wanted to say fuck you and pass out food anyways, and they arrested some of the members of the church. This was a year or two ago. And they got in a court case. The church actually countersued the city and said, you know, this is bullshit. And they won. So the
countersue. That's your key word right there, Ross.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word for when the court system sets the precedent for the law?
It's a precedent. It's just a case
precedent. Case precedent. So, case law.
It's if it's used multiple times, and if it's set by a particular authority or a court that's high enough, then it becomes precedent. Most of the times, it's just cases that are cited back and forth in the respective jurisdictions. I will say this, though, as someone who's personally been in the dumpster while another person has opened up a perfectly good box of chicken and is chewing on the chicken, standing up in the dumpster, and then all of a sudden the police shines a spotlight on all three of us, one person loading the truck, the other person taking the bags and going through them on the ground, and the other person literally at the top of the dumpster chewing on chicken. So imagine what that cop must have thought
going through his head.
Right? So I do want to highlight, unless there's specific things about dumpster diving, anything in the trash is public. They can't have it both ways. I want to touch on the authority aspect. If the fucking government and every single agency can claim authority to go through your trash and use its stuff against you because, oh, well, it's public access and it's public, you know, property. Well, then you can go through the same fucking trash, whether it's yours or anybody else's, for that matter, as long as you're not disturbing business, you're not looting, you're not graffitiing, you're not, you know, destroying or vandalizing anything, you just go in there, you be extremely responsible, and you take what's public domain if it's not locked, right? If you do that, you're not committing a crime. And in fact, in that situation that I described with the man eating the chicken that was helping us in the dumpster and with me going through the bags looking through things that were fresh and cold and with the other person loading up a huge pickup bed full of food that was overflowing, the ensuing interaction with the cop was quite merry. He was like, once he realized what we were doing, he's like, are you guys hungry? And he's like asking an obvious question because there's literally enough food to feed, I'm not kidding you, 500 fucking people.
The guy standing in the dumpster eating chicken. Are you hungry?
So I'm like, well, yeah, sure. And I said, we got a lot of other hungry people too. And I said, would you like to take a look at what we got? And he's like, did you get anything good? And he walks over and looks in there. And that's one out of about 100 times I've been interacted with or contacted by police mid-dumpster dive, right? And not one of them have I ever gone to jail or anything or tried to been charged with trespassing or any of that stuff. You have a right. You have not a constitutional right, but a natural right to feed yourself. And if somebody wants to say, oh, well, you know, you can't go feed yourself with perfectly good food that they're selling for prices that nobody wants to pay for, so they throw it away. You can't do that, but you can go in there and you can buy it. Nobody has the right to tell you that. Suck my balls. Sorry, listeners, if you don't like how blunt I am. I love you guys, but that's how I feel. okay?
Yeah, and you touched on something. You touched on something there. That's really what it's about, because they figure, right, that as broke as people might be, right, they're going to come into their store and spend their last shillings on something to eat. And if this free stuff out back, they're going to lose market share. And that's pretty much what it's all about. It's pretty much what it's all about.
That's why they're making the shelf space in the first place.
Right. There might be some, I don't know, there might be some insurance issues, right? If the dumpsters are on the property and blah, 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 someone injures himself on the dumpster, you know, that might be a side issue. But I think ultimately, you know, when you're dealing with someone like Walmart, you know, if you have hundreds of thousands of people who are putting up their last $1.50, you know, or less than $10 for food that day, and all of a sudden, you know, a good portion of them are just going around the back, that adds up to big money with multiple stores all over the planet. And so, as you can imagine, there's a profit motive involved.
It's always profit, man. It always is. And, you know, and it's the other side of the coin, not just with the dumpster diving thing, with the permitting for gigs and noise permits and all these different things. Daisy, have you run into any of that stuff in this area at all?
You know, not so much in terms of music. I think I've actually found a lot of support in Dallas.
Really?
You know, okay. Yeah, a lot of support. I mean, I've done gigs inside and outside, especially when I let people and venue owners know that I'm also raising money for Jumpstart and for our cause. They're super stoked to jump on board with that. One thing I have run into problems with, though, is trying to start the project like Jumpstart. Shelters would not even talk to me or even look at me until I waved a $2,500 check in their face. After I gave them that money and I said, hey, I raised all this money, then basically they were like, oh, okay, you can do whatever you want. But until then, I had actually applied for a job at one of the shelters that I was working with, and they didn't even, you know, they barely even looked at me. And then, you know, 3 months later, I come bounding in with this big check, and they're like, oh, okay, yes. So I just think, you know, the double standard is just, oh, it's terrible. I don't think that we should have to pay or anything like that in order to bring music or healing or food to people, but unfortunately that's just the way it is today. So I'm just trying to spread awareness in that, and hopefully, you know, this program gets enough awareness and enough response that other shelters just start asking for it without, you know, us having to go in there and say, hey, you know, we have this to offer. Like, hopefully it'll just end up speaking for itself.
Right. I would say this. I would say number one, and if you've been doing this, kudos. But number one, always speak with the director. Never speak with anybody below that. Never waste your time when you're doing proposals or anything. I learned that from the start when I was doing my negotiations. Number two, if the directors don't want to play ball with you, go to the state. Go to the state food banks. Mm. Try to say, I'm establishing this. Go to a local congressman or something and say, I want to start a lobby for this purpose, and I've got a foundation to back it up already. You know, do you guys want to go to bat for me and pass some legislation that would allow me to, you know, have freer access to these shelters? All these types of things. The system, I said this on an interview that I did with Joe Cristiano recently on Liberty Blog Talk Radio about no schooling. But I said this, I said, if you can just, oh my goodness, how did I word this? Give me a minute, guys. There's something I really want to bring up that's really important, and I'm having a brain fart here. Okay, that's what it was. I said that the political system is broken, but you're trying to get people behind you already to do your stuff privately. If you can make that flourish and then apply it publicly through a lobby, you can work with the broken system. Thank you for bracing me for that, for this, you know, 10 seconds. I had to remember it exactly. And I think that's exactly what you have an opportunity to do, to step up, level it up, and stop dealing with this crap that these people are giving you. They're so stupid to not want to help somebody like you that what you're doing. It's ridiculous. Okay? So that's just a suggestion, I would say, for you. It's not really any advice. You don't need advice. You're doing wonderful.
Definitely. And, well, yeah, and I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I definitely appreciate it. I think it really kind of depends on the area that you're going to and how established the shelter is itself. Some directors that I've talked to have been totally about it, but others, you know, especially in really low income areas, they just have trouble. You know, they've got other priorities. They're trying to figure out how to even provide counseling services or so on and so forth. And so the children just kind of fall through the cracks. So those are the kind of the shelters that I'm aiming for, is the shelters that aren't making their children the first priority in the first place.
Keep that up. That's good. I would say this one simple one-liner. A bill in the Texas Congress to encourage shelters to take action in community outreach programs by rewarding them with a something tax benefit, you know, something percentage tax benefit for every one per annum charity they work with or something like that, right? That benefits the local community. This is something that you can propose and draft, just a rough draft to your congressman. And, you know, again, I will say the system's broken, but that's something that could solve your problems. But for right now, it sounds like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I did want to bring real quick to your attention, though. I've got a lot of contacts in Austin. I spend a lot of time down there. It's just a fantastic place, Austin, Texas. The music scene is just out of this fucking world, man. And to prove that point, there's homeless tent cities everywhere, right? Just like Dallas. It doesn't go away just wherever you go. It's there. But the thing is, local musicians, every single day I was there, I saw a different band playing a free concert for people, handing out water, handing out food. Of course, they bought the food and they spent money. They have huge costs. Okay, I get that. But they're trying it. They're doing a good thing. And they're actually healing the epigenetic factor, the, you know, product of your environment factor, while also helping them with their basic needs to a certain extent. You know, it's not mm-hmm. very sustainable, but it's worth the effort. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to bring that up and see what you thought about that, both of you guys as performers, you know, either Ross or Daisy or both. You know, what do you think?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is the sustainability. Yeah, if you're having to spend money and you're doing a free show, then that's a whole lot of time and energy that you're not being compensated for, which is fine if you have that all figured out. That's just the first thing that comes into my head. It's great that that's happening, though. And kudos to them.
Excellent.
Mm. Yeah, you touched on working with public officials. They are public servants. Ultimately, that's their role. They've taken an oath, and. And also, most politicians, I would say, they have ego and they have images that they need to be mindful of. So if you're bringing a proposal such as, you know, bringing music or bringing services to, you know, homeless people, disenfranchised people, and other organizations that support them, whether it be music or the arts, some level of support, food. I would imagine that if you get enough people behind you, and you craft your proposal in a way that's just makes complete sense, is win-win for everybody. And you publicize it, right? You make your proposal to whatever public officials, lawmakers or something, and you get some publicity behind it.
Or you send it to their competition. So if they don't play ball, they'll use it as a point of interest against
right,
them and then be
right.
for it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, appeal to their ego even. How are they going to look? By not getting behind this thing, they're going to look like idiots. Okay, that's one thing. You know, it's like if you want people to do the right thing, make it profitable. As an example,
yeah, unfortunately. You
know, if you, yeah, you know, yeah, this, yeah, some for some reason the system is set up like that. But yeah, I mean, make your public officials serve the public. You know, it's something that they forget. I don't think all of them, I don't think by any means all, you know, people in public office, politicians and stuff like that, I don't think they're bad people. My sense is that most of them get into it. They want to do the right thing. They want to do good. They want to serve their community.
And, I'll say this, Corey. I agree with you. I got to break in, though. I agree with you. But I'll say this. I'm a realist and a practical person, and just me, one person out of billions on the planet, I have never, ever run across anybody in office that you're speaking of that's fully competent or capable or of understanding what their duties really mean, not only to themselves, right, but to the general public as well. And then further, even carrying it out in a beneficial way to the public without wasting an enormous amount of expense. Okay.
Right. So well, they're in an environment where that's an uphill battle. That's the thing. Most of the people who, I was going to say that people who do have good intentions, most of them get in there, realize they're banging their head against the wall, and get out. Some of them get turned to the dark side, if you will, you know, because the, you know, because that paycheck is just too good. And then others are just, you know, irascible egoists.
Oh yeah, and they love to have their special license plate. You know, I saw this lady, Texas State Judge, and it had an exempt thing on it, you know, and she's just like driving with her head up like this,
right,
you know, and then all of a sudden she cuts off the person that's right next to her and almost causes a wreck, right? And the person comes up beside him and just does this. I'm looking at this, I pay attention, and they do this like, hey man, what was that, you know, like the hand up in like a gesture, questioning gesture. She flips him off and speeds off and is breaking the speed limit by doing like 20 fucking miles over the speed limit. You understand? Right. So it's just, I've yet to meet somebody who's capable of being honorable fully. And, you know, we'll wrap it up with that. And I'll bring it up to Daisy and Ross. Is there anything else you guys want to say? We've got about 2 minutes left, or I believe a minute or so. Actually, 90 seconds. So anything else that you guys want to say?
I just want to say thank you so much for having us on the show. And, you know, that the Windsong movement is about collective cooperation. And so that just by having us on here and by spreading the word and by spreading a message of awareness, you are part of the movement, brother. And I just want to thank you so much for your time and your passions and your efforts, and for having us.
Absolutely. You guys have been awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, okay. Jordan. Thank you, Corey.
Cool, man. Good to hear from you.
My fellow elk brother. That's an inside joke. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I will talk to you soon. And listeners, you've been awesome as well. Thank you for listening, whether you're from Plag or from Facebook, LinkedIn, whoever you are, wherever you're from, always look within. And remember that next week we'll have a special guest who's talking about how to beat the shit out of the banks at their own fraud game, using legal means, basically. And he's also got a theory he wants to chat about how every single we'll just let him get into it. But generally speaking, it's going to blow the mortgage foreclosure thing wide open and how to defend yourself against it. So we'll talk about some solutions there. Thank you very much. Look within. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.